We're going to examine the Parsha Benos Lachod, which is found twice in Chumash. Once in this week's Parsha Pinchas, and the second time at the end of Sefer Bamidbar in Parsha's Maaseh. As is our wont, what we always attempt to do is read the text of the Chumash or whatever text we are focused on very, very carefully. That's something that is sorely lacking in this door in general, in terms of methodology. And that's very critical. All Rishonim write, there's a very famous Sefer, Derech HaLimud, by one of the Gedolei Rishonim, Rabbi Yitzchak Kampontin. And the entire Sefer essentially is devoted to diuk, that one should be medayik in the language of Rishonim and Kabbal Chomer, Ben Barosh and Kabbal Chomer, in the language of Hashem Yisbarach. And this applies across the board, whatever one learns. And that's something that's not sufficiently stressed often. People get excited about Pilpulim, about Chidushim, which are also beautiful. I happen to like Chidushim and Pilpulim as well. However, that's not the ikar of learning. The ikar of learning is to focus on the text, and that's generally what we do in the shurim that we are zochen to give here in Beis Tefillah. So I'm going to begin by reading the two sets of sukkim. One is found in the upper right-hand corner, this week's Parsha Pinchas. And by the way, you'll see very clearly on your own that there are two different tones that are to be found in these psukim. The Torah begins by telling us, "Batikram the Benos Lachod." The Benos Lachod approached Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have his lineage: Ben Chefer, Ben Gilad, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe. Mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef. Clearly here we have some tautology. There clearly is language that's a little bit excessive. Already Rishonim point this out. Ben Chefer, ben Gilad, ben Machir, ben Menashe. So why the necessity? Mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef. Rashi already on the spot. On page number 2, which is the second side, Rashi already notes this question. So Rashi indicates the Torah wants to stress Yosef Chivei Vesoret. Shenema ba'alisim es atzmosai b'zeh itchem. Yosef HaTzadik had a tremendous love of Eretz Yisrael, tremendous chiba, and that chiba is expressed at the end of Parshas Vayechi. When Yosef made a request, ba'alisim es atzmosai b'zeh. Moran Haras Soloveitchi's Hatzal pointed out another absolutely fantastic deal. The pasuk that Rashi cites at the end of Bereishis says, ba'alisim es atzmosai b'zeh. However, in Bishalach, when the idea is repeated, so there the Torah says, "Va'alisim es atzmosem izeh itchem." Why does the Torah add an extra word? So the Rav pointed out it's actually found in Darash Darash Yosef. That's where I saw it. So Rav Soloveitchi pointed out that when Yosef was in Egypt under the aegis of Paro Melech Mitzrayim, he could not really articulate his true feelings. Yosef clearly was a foreigner in a foreign land and somehow had to more or less demonstrate full allegiance to Mitzrayim. As we know, he was the viceroy of the Mishnah of Mitzrayim. Unquestionably, that requires a commitment, a loyalty, an unswerving loyalty. But deep down, Yosef was a Jew. That we know who Yosef, who Mitzikuso, Mitzilos, Matzoba, what Rashi calls from Chazal. And we also know, the Gemara says in Makis, that one distinction between Yosef and Moshe Rabbeinu was the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he identified himself at the beginning of Shemos, and the daughters of Yisrael more or less wanted to put him in a particular circumstance, so Moshe Rabbeinu called himself, and that's how they identified him. Ish mitzvah hitzilot me'aroi. Mashen Ken Yosef, there we know he is described already as someone who is an Ivri, Eved, Ivri, Eved the Sarat Avochim. So the word says in Makis, Yosef Shehoda Barzo, Nikba Barzo. And Rasul Lech, he said, that's embedded in the term found in Bishalach, where the Torah is one word, Balisim is Atzmosai, Bizet, Itchem. That additional word indicates that really, where was he? He was with his fellow Jews. Even though he was in Egypt, the viceroy of the Mishnah of Mitzrayim, but ultimately his connection was to Klal Yisrael, and of course, ultimately in Eretz Yisrael, where he requested to be buried. So here also, Rashi noted The language, the additional language the Torah uses, L'mishmachos Menashe ben Yosef, and again, that's what Rashi comments. Now let's just read a bit further. The Torah then identifies the daughters, Elishmos Benosa, Machla Noah, Bechagul Milka, Besirsa. One of the famous kashis that's asked by Chazal, and Rashi again relates to this in Pashas Maaseh, where the Torah also lists the daughters of Tzlafchad. So they have the same there. The listing is different than the seder that's found over here. If you take a look at towards the end, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Batiyena, the left-hand column. Batiyena, Machla Sirtza V'chogo Milka B'Noah, B'Noah Slocha, the Nedo Dehem B'Rashim. So here the order begins with Machla, and then Tirtza Choglo Milka B'Noah, Mashen came here, the Elish Mos B'Nosav, Machla, Noah V'chogo Milka B'Sirtza. Why did the Torah change the order? So Rashi already comments that, and this will become part of what we are going to discuss shortly, but there's a distinction between, if you will, two different aspects. One is the chronology in terms of the date of their birth, and the other is the chokhma of the Bnei Tzlafchad. That's how Rashi understands the Pesukim in Maaseh. There the list is in line of chokhma. Mashen Ken, here the list is chronological in terms of their dates of birth. Now let's examine the Pasha overall. As I said, the tone of this Pasha, the one in Pinchas, is markedly different than the one in Maaseh. See, the Torah says, look at the language. Batikravna, they approach. Batamoda, they stand in front of Moshe. What a pasuk. Here, these women are clearly, let's use the term, emboldened to stand in front of quite a august array of VIPs, let's call them. Moshe, Elazar Kohen, Nesiim, Kol Eda, Chazal comment on the Seder here as well. And they present their case. Avinu Meis Bamidbar, that their father died in the Midbar, who lo haya b'socha Eda, hano adimal Hashem ba'adas Korah. He was not at all a part of the Eda of Korah that rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu and essentially rebelled against Hashem. That's not where he came from. But their father passed away. And the Torah goes on to say, he died for private reasons, having nothing to do with the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. The father left five daughters without any sons. And we know the halacha is that generally the Torah, when it describes actually the din of Yerusha, which is also sitting by Abasa, but the din come right over here, and the Torah goes on indicating that Mishpachas of Kriya Mishpacha, Mishpachas Eimeh, Kriya Mishpacha, the son is the one that inherits. And generally, daughters, they, when they're married, they will join the Shevet of their husbands and live on their lands. Let's say a woman from the Shevet Dan would marry a man from Shevet Yehuda. The woman would move from Dan to Yehuda, and she would live in her husband's plot of land. That's the way the Chazal describe this. And the son, on the other hand, they are the ones who are going to inherit their father's land and continue his name. So now with Tzlafchad, there's nobody to continue his name. He only had daughters. So who's going to inherit his lands? That's the issue that the Torah presents. So the daughters of Tzlafchad decided they're going to bring their issue to the top. They're going to bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And as I said, here we have, just in a very striking kind of way, that the Torah indicates that what was their motivation. So let's read the Pesukim. The Torah goes on to say, Lama yigarashim avinu mitoch mishpachto, ki ein lo ben. What a statement. Now, this language of Loma Yigara right away should bring to our minds, correct, the Pesach Sheni, which is found in Baal Yisrael. So it uses there a similar kind of language. We have to be very sensitive to language in the text. That's really, as I said at the outset, the most important thing. So here the Torah also mentions what was their motivation, the people who wanted to bring a Pesach Sheni, that Bahia Noshim in Perek Tess of Aloysra Pasik Bob, they were Tomei. They came to Moshe by Yom Ranashimaila, Anafti Tmail, Never Shadow, Lomani Gora. Why should our situation somehow be aggravated? Why should we be second class citizens? The Vilti Happy with God Hashem and Wada Batom, but they saw. And they also use a similar kind of language that the Torah articulates over here, namely, Lomani Gora Shimabina Mitok Mishpachto Kein Lanubet. And because he had no sons, so now that means that his name will no longer be perpetuated. So clearly that was their main concern. The main concern was the father's name should not be forgotten, and they felt an achrayus to see the perpetuation of his name. And that's really something which is incredible, the motivation that they had. Of course, it's a motivation of Kibra Ba'im, Nisar Echad, and other factors that come into this as well. But certainly, we see here an incredible kavana that they maintain. And we have to understand their character. This is what Chazal go on to say. I'll get to the Gemara Babasa, also famous sugya, and Daf Kuf Yutes, and Kuf Chof, directly below, where the Gemara actually describes their personalities. But to know about Achuza B'Sach HaYavino, one of the questions that Mepharshim ask over here, which is a legitimate question, and it's a question that all of us should ask ourselves as well. Namely, when the Pasuk says over here that they requested to know about Achuza B'Sach HaYavino, so again, I just pointed out the Rashi. The Rashi says that they were Sion, S-E-I-O-N, Sion of Yosef HaTzadik, Shechi Be'Bes Aretz, tremendous love of Eretz Yisrael. And now they ask for a possession among our father's brothers. So the question is, how do we know that they have a tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael? The fact they want to inherit their father doesn't indicate per se that they necessarily have a chiba for Eretz Yisrael. Had it been decreed that, let's say, Jews would be destined to remain in the Midbar, or they would have no land at all, would they not have asked for the right to inherit whatever their father possessed? So, again, before I should point out, there's one word here that's very critical. Namely, they should have said, Tano lanu Yerusha. What do they say? Tano lanu Achuza. Achuza is not simply a piece of property. And that's found, actually, if you look at the Pesukim, Asugi Nerchen, and the Pesukim at the end of Vayikra, means, essentially, the Dor HaMidbar had no desire for any piece of Eretz Yisrael. And what's very fascinating, that exactly when did this story occur? So Rashi here also, Kodi Chazal, so Rashi indicates, if you take a look at page number two, Rashi first refers to the Meraglim, that they said, Nitna Rosh Roshuva Mitzvah, the contrast that Rashi cites here between the Meraglim who want to go back to Egypt, Zachar Metadoga Shalokha B'Mitzvahim Kinon, V'Anoshim Omrim, Tino Lono Achuza, and that's the Smichas HaPashius. That, as a matter of fact, right before this, you don't have the Torah in front of you, but right before this, the Torah uses the language, which is also incredibly striking. Right before the approach of the Bnei Slavchot, so the Torah tells us, Mamish, I'm talking about Perek, Chavav, the last pasuk. None of them remain. People died in the desert. Ki Amar Hashem l'hem, Mosi Yerusha b'Midbar, v'lo lo sam l'hem, ish kin kol min yifuneh, v'yoshua b'nun. That's what the juxtaposition to Vati Kravna, that the Torah now goes on to describe. But essentially, what I'm simply trying to point out is that Chazal tell us that the two occurrences, namely that of the Meraglim, which the Torah here is contrasting with the Bnei Slavchot, did not happen at the same time. The incident with the Meraglim happened in the second year. That's what the Torah describes in the beginning of Pasha Shlach, after Chal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. The incident with the Slavchot, Bnei Slavchot, took place in the 40th year. It's the last year of their peregrination of the Midbar. That's when we have this story of the Bnei Slavchot. And in any event, the Dor HaMidbar rejected Eretz Yisrael. And as a matter of fact, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu earlier in Perek Lamed Beis, that Moshe Rabbeinu, even during the 40th year, he suspected that God and Reuben, a bit later actually, now wanted to cross the Yarden, that essentially they were guilty of that here, he called them Tarbus Amashim Chataim, Lisvos Od Al Charon Af Hashem B'Yisrael. What was their intention? That, okay, his suspicion was unfounded, but still, they obviously were moving in the other direction. As I just mentioned, Dit Darosh, Shulam Mitzvahima, and they were moving to the other side of the Yarden, they got to the Reuben, and here, the Bnei Slavchot are asking for a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael, showing the Chavibus, showing the love that they have for Eretz Yisrael. So Chazal praise them. Take a look at the Gemara directly below. I underline a lot, as I mentioned, one of my Hesronos that my children told me highlighting. And what I initially learned, I never highlighted anything. And then I started to highlight, and before I know it, half of Shas is highlighted, and the half of my Tanakh is highlighted. So, Mahayilu Chacham Takadosa, Mari Machtin Bol said. That's the question I wanted to ask. But anyway, here, in the context of this, sort of the, before the white lines, in the second column, where it has Kufu tests, so Chazal called, Bnei Slavchot, Chachmanios, Dashonios, Tzidkonios. Number one, they were chachamim, they were wise. Number two, they were dashonios. They knew how to expound the Torah, and three, they were tzaddikim, they were tzitonios, they were righteous. And the Gemara says, why were they chacham? Because they spoke in a timely fashion. That's also the Gemara over here. And they posed their question to Moshe, what at what point? Look at the wide lines. Lefi Shoah Dibru, Amr Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzhak, Melamacher, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshi, Vidosher, Vidorish, Vavashis, Yadmin. Moshe Rabbeinu was learning the Parsha of Yibum, Shereh Makiyeshu Achim Yachdom, Amulo Im Keben, Anu Chashurim, Tanamu Alachlo Keben, Im Lab, Tis Yadmin Mimeno. I'm not getting into the details of this statement. This needs a little bit of Iyun. But whatever the case is, they essentially, they posed their question, Moshe was teaching the laws of Yibum. Now, they didn't engage in idle kind of conversation. I heard from Hagoyim Rav Neven Sol Shliter many years ago, and I asked him about this Gemara, so he told me something very fascinating. He said that the word Slavchot is a pneumatic. Tzadik, Lamed, Pei, Ches, Dalet. What's it a pneumatic for? Tzidkanios, that's the letter Tzadi. Next, what do you do the Lamed, Pei? Lo Papetonios. That's what he told me. They don't engage in idle conversation. That's the second and third letter. And finally, the Ches, Chachmoniyot, and the Dalet Dashoniyot. That's what he, what a original comment, which is Guim Azbron Lamisha Abram, Rabbi Levitzol. But the fact that you requested an inheritance doesn't per se indicate a love of Eretz Yisrael, the Chiba of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we know that Jews and non-Jews demand what's rightfully theirs, as one would expect them to. And as we know as well, there are people who are demanding all kinds of property in this country as well, whether it's rightfully theirs or not rightfully theirs, etc. I'll just make one more point. And obviously, their wisdom lay in the fact they understood the true purpose of inheriting from their father. By the way, the Ramban in Chumash, I discussed this in Parsha Baal Isma, for those who were zayich to be here. But anyway, Parsha Baal Isma, so there's a back and forth dialogue as well between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisroel to try to convince him to join them on the march to Eretz Yisrael. So initially, Yisroel's reaction is, look, basically what you would say, I guess what he would say, the Russian Prime Minister, yeah, what Khrushchev used to say, bang his shoes on the podium. Maybe only you and I remember this. But whatever the case is, that next, Ramban says, okay, so if he rejected Gil Artsy, hey, if I want to go back to my home, I have everything there. What do I have to come here for? So then Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, So the Ramban says, what happened the first time, as opposed to the second time, where it seems he never doesn't explicitly say that he joined the march, but Kanirah, that's what happened. As there are chilukim deis about it, but the answer is that first time he promised him kesef bezov, the chosim, the godim, and the like, material goods. No, no, that's not what he's interested. He wanted the chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, go ahead.
As you suggest, without getting into Mukta Mukha or Torah, the fact that Dr. Menashe was the shape that Chetzi Chetzi, so there, this shows about Kibbutz Eretz Yisrael. Half their shame is staying made very hard. I mean, they're saying, we want to be inside that it's going to be enough.
Bor Shekibanti Ledaitcha. I thought about this years ago, and I was going to mention it as well, but you, the Darkecha, Bakhtedish took the words out of my mouth, which is fine, which is great, and I like that. I like that a lot. I even actually saw it in more modern Sifrei Drush. They actually mentioned such an idea. But the point I'm just simply indicating, and this is a thought that I heard many times from my Rabbeim, that here also, they weren't just interested in the way Yisroel, he wasn't interested in gold and silver, material goods, that's how the Ramban explains over there in Parsha Baal Isma. And here also, the B'nai Slavchot, they realized the purpose of Yerusha is to provide a kind of tikkun for the neshama of the niftar, for the soul of the departed. The Torah says that, of course, that's what goes on, and that's the Pasha in Baal Basra, the Psukim, starting from Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yud Yud Aleph, where Hashem tells Moshe, Gain King Benos Slavcha Doberos, Nosom Titein Lehem Ahuzas Nachala Besokachei Abiyem, and then we have the Dinum of Nachala, the pecking order, if you will, the priorities that I mentioned. But the Torah says that the Yerusha goes to the next of kin. There's a son, the son of Yarshit. If there's no son, then a daughter, and so forth. And the reason why I have to go to relatives is because when one inherits the father's land, you can provide a tikkun for the neshama of the father. This is Alpiyah Kabbalah, but it's actually, I think it's even Alpiyah Nigla, and the same idea with Yibam. That's the whole idea of Yibam, Lachim Shein. We discussed that actually in the first Iyun Shir that we said actually on Yevamos. So we pointed out this issue on Friday morning. I have to give myself a little bit of pesomet. Anyway, so there we discussed the question whether Dafke you have to use the same name. It's a big Diyun and Rishonim, whether the same name of the Nifter has to be used when you have a child. Whatever the case is here, that's what they were trying to do. But what I simply want to note, and this is something which the Ramban already knows, is that it's a very famous issue. This idea, you're asking me about the Tikkun, it's not just Apiyah Kabbalah. The Ibn Ezra, who was a pretty rationalist in his approach in general, so the Ibn Ezra points out that Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu also, Vayikin Eschalkas Hasod, in Bereshis, so you have a Chumash. So in Bereshis, in Perek, Lame Gimel. So there in Bereshis, Vayishlach, Perek Lame Gimel, Pasim Gites, Vayoba Yaakov Sholem Yushpen. This is after his encounter with the Baal Shel Esav and Yaakov's encounter with Esav. So the Torah says, Yaakov came, Yishchem, Hashem Be'eretz Kenan, Vayichan Espeya Yitz, the Gemara in Shabbos, Vayichan Espeya Sasodeh, Hashem Not Hashem Olam, Yad Berech Amar, Yishchem, Bemeh Sita, Vayas Hashem Esbech, Vayichol Okel, Okel Yisrael. He purchased a field, he bought a parcel of land, so why does the Torah relate this incident? So the Ibn Ezra writes, the Ramban quotes it, purchasing a piece of property in Eretz Yisrael is akin to acquiring for yourself a chelek in Olam Haba. So the Ibn Ezra, the rationalist, parks along, that's what he cites in the Ramban, quotes his Ibn Ezra. So again, this element of tikkun is apparently what the Ibn Ezra has in mind. That's why I understand that Ibn Ezra, as I said, cited by the Ramban. So what, as I said, of critical importance to us is when we get a sense of this parsha, we are really amazed by how emboldened they are in the way they presented themselves, and they presented themselves before the highest level that one, and of course their kavanos are lama nigara. I mean, as mentioned by Dr. Stern Schlitter, that those who weren't able to bring the Karban Pesach also use a similar kind of lashon. We're talking about lama nigara in the spiritual sense, in the ruchni sense. That's clear from the language of the Pesukim and also from the Rishonim, and that's what we're worried about. They're worried about this ruchniistic life of their father, Zatzal. Why should he lose an opportunity to have a shtrumel in Eretz Yisrael and in Olam Haba? So, unfortunately, the Meraglim did not have that value of the importance of Eretz Yisrael. And Mashenki Baral Slokhov did have that concept, and that's something which is essentially, I believe, embedded here in the Parsha of Pinchas to a large extent. Now, in general, people have different types of connection to Eretz Yisrael. One can have a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Often people ask the question, and this is a question that I posed to a number of Gedol Yisrael, I mentioned this a number of times, whether I can leave Eretz Yisrael to go and see the beauty, the majestic beauty of the world that Hashem has created. This is a big machlokes among Paskim. Yes, many years ago, I had going Rabban Lichasim Tatzal, Rav Soloveitchik son-in-law, my Rebbe son-in-law, he was also my Rebbe. And he told me, he thought yes. And over the years, I heard the name of Shem Shafal Hirsch, that they quoted his name. I still have not seen the text inside. I'm waiting to see the text. I'm sure it's written somewhere. Anyone who is not Zohar to see the Alps, Mashu Chaser Etzlo, Mashu Baku Etzlo, Mashu Pogum Etzlo, he has missed some of the beauty of Hashem Yisbarach's creation, which everyone is obligated to go ahead and see. I'm sure you heard this. They say, quoted from Shem Shafal Hirsch, even though I'm looking for it, then maybe if you can find it for me, anyone here, I'll be very appreciative. Hagoyna Devesol Shlita, Shebab Lachayim Aruchim, told me it is awesome. There's no reason to go to the Alps. And then I asked him, what about the Grand Canyon? That was one he said, but he didn't understand. Efshar Lalechet
Hamachdesh. In reverse, your person was in Eretz Yisrael.
He was not in Eretz Yisrael. Right. That's correct. He was in Chutzlars. He was in Germany. But Rabbi Nevinson told me that when I told him about the Grand Canyon, Yeshet HaMachdesh, Taroma, inside like the Grand Canyon. So I says, Rav, how do you compare the Machdesh to the Grand Canyon? So he didn't understand the question, Bichlal. And he saw, I actually said, three shiurim in the yeshiva there near that area. The Rosh Yeshiva, I met him at the Chasa, he invited me once, a second time, a third time. And then after the third time, I was no longer invited because he and I have some hashkafic disagreements on a number of issues. He's a Berkas HaRavnik, and I essentially am still very American, a lot of my thinking and the like, even though my thinking is primarily based on what I heard myself from Gedolei Yisrael, but he is not in agreement. Okay, Maseches Gemara. So I was no longer invited to say Shiurim. Whatever the case is, many have a very superficial appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. It's what about the beautiful scenery and the breathtaking view of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Eretz Harim Ugvals, Natasha Mayim Tishtem Loyim, there's no question the hills of Yerushalayim, they change colors when the sun set. A lot of very beautiful things in Eretz Yisrael. I don't like to leave Eretz Yisrael. I try not to leave Eretz Yisrael unless I have no choice. No choice means I have to raise money for my yeshiva. All the reasons that the Gemara mentions that you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, give it over aim, to get married, Talmud Torah. I think, Baruch Hashem, as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, it seems to me that there's an ample amount of Talmud Torah in this country. I don't think anyone has to leave for that reason. And there are one or two other reasons as well, mentioned by Hazal, mentioned by the Billy Aposkin. But Mavin Kuzari writes, he speaks about the Akulim of Eretz Yisrael. The climate of Eretz Yisrael is ideal. It's a happy medium, not too hot, not too cold. And Chazal talk a lot about Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara, the Enik Subis. I think people are learning the Daf Yomi. We'll get to it in pretty quick fashion. Probably how many months? In 4 months? I don't know exactly what the... but there's an absolutely gorgeous, majestic description of Eretz Yisrael, the Enik Subis. And there are, matter of fact, one of the famous kashas that's asked on that psukim, the psukim Eretz Yisrael is described twice in Dvarim, and questions about the Tzvei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's for another occasion. But whatever the case is here, I'm simply indicating that Chibas HaOretz is something which is obviously very much embedded in the Benos Slavchad, in their presentation, and in their wishes, and it was clearly a kavana that was really exceptional. And we'll see how much more exceptional it was in a little while, in a few moments, hopefully. Again, as I said, that Eretz Yisrael's uniqueness is primarily for one reason. As the Pasuk says, Eretz Asher, Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo, Bereshit Hashana Ad Achri Shana. That's the main aspect of Eretz Yisrael. If one realizes the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and one understands its true character, the fact that Hashem's eyes are always on Eretz Yisrael, that rain is provided here, whether or not, it depends whether we deserve it or not. That's the Pasha Vayim Shema. Vayim Shema, the Torah tells us, if we carry out the Drashim, that the Rav will provide us with bountiful rain, and if not, Chas V'Shalom, then we won't be Zochet to it. Eretz Yisrael is a land for Limud HaTorah. It's true, there were many Torah giants who lived all over the world, and we know that Rashi and the Rif and many others, again, lived in many, many countries, and they wrote majestic, monumental works, Torah works that are obviously fantastic. But there's no question that had they lived in Eretz Yisrael and had they been Chabad Chiburim in Eretz Yisrael, would even have been greater. And that is testified to by Agoin Rav Eliyahu Dessler Tzal, who writes it explicitly. I've heard also from others as well. Such an idea. It's not a Litvisher kind of approach. Litvaks assume that you could learn anywhere. That's what I was always Tzal, my Rebbe, used to say that Har Sinai, the idea of Mount Torah, is obviously in all corners of the globe. But Rav Dessler writes that he attained more easier in Eretz Yisrael than he did in Chutz Aretz. And the truth of the matter is, it's a Gemara in Ksubis, the Gemara in the Vayneh, also a famous Gemara. The Gemara says over there in Ksubis that let's see if I can remember it. That Abayi said that one of them is as good as two of us. And Rava responded to Abayi, and he said, when one of us goes up there, he's as good as two of them. Because the Gemara doesn't say that a person merits himself, goes to Babel, becomes like two, and there is a soul. The opposite is true. The act of Aliyah going to Eretz Yisrael is different in essence. Okay, I'm just trying to accentuate the point. Another raya from the Sugi in Makis, where the Gemara says over there that a person who's guilty of capital crime and is chayav misa and runs away from Chutz Aretz to Eretz Yisrael, his sentence is being revoked. And the din of Losaske Evel Adonah, Hashem Nazar Lech Min Adonah, Bimcha Yeshe Begir Becha, Bamokam Hashem Yivchar, Batob Lo Lo Tonenu. The merit of being in Eretz Yisrael, maybe the courts, the Vatidina, will find evidence on his side to cancel that judgment, something they could find in Chutz Aretz. And the Kuzari writes that all the Nevi'im, either they were misnabe about Eretz Yisrael or in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no question that it's a land which is designed for Avodas Hashem in every sense of the word. I think I'm preaching here to the committed. since Baruch Hashem, all of us, I assume, live here in Eretz Yisrael, Zachino. So now I want to go to the next parasha in Masse. Now take a look at the upper left-hand corner, the parasha in Masse, and here, fascinatingly enough, it's quite a different tone that the Torah expresses here than that which is found in Pinchas. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu for the Nesiim, and they begin. Pasuk Beis. Now you'll notice there are two, three words here that occur and recur many times. That's always a sign, a symbol of what's happening. First, the word Tziva, and then right after, Badoni Tziva Hashem. Means we were commanded to go and give the Nachla of Tzavad, give it to his daughters. And then it goes on. What's the problem? The problem is that they marry out of the Shemet. So then, Benigra Nachalasa. Again, the word Benigra, fascinating. Benigra Nachalasa Menachas Haroseinu. And we go Nachalaseinu Yigorea. That's another term here that we mentioned earlier. And here it's found many times. And then the next Pasuk, Pasuk Dalet. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Came Matir Yosef Dovrim." Of course, parallels the pasuk that we had in our parsha. Came Bnei Bnei Slavcha Dovros. They are correct because here the spokesmen are not Bnei Slavcha, but the spokesmen are the children of Yosef. And Zeh Dovah Shetziv Hashem Bnei Slavcha Deimor Latobi Enem Tien LaNashim. So here is fascinating what the Torah tells us, and the Gemara actually Bavasa directly below. At length, the Gemara discusses this distinction between Bnei Slavchad and all the others. All the others are told that they should marry within the Shevet. The reason why they should marry within the Shevet, in order that the Nachla should not go ahead and Rahman al-Litzlan go elsewhere. But Bnei Slavchad, no. Lato b'einem t'yen l'anashim. They have the right to marry anyone they wanted. Even if it meant shifting and moving from their shevet to another shevet. Torah goes on. Losis of Nachla Yisrael. This is repeated many times. I'm not going to go into this parsha. It's not yet to Masay. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Tes. Ki'ish v'nachlasa yidbuku matas na Yisrael. The idea is to maintain your connection to your shevet. Kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe kenasa b'nei slavcha. What does that mean? What exactly do they do? So let's read the sugi. Matiyeno. They married their uncle's children, their uncle's sons. At the end, they stayed within the family shevet, even though they had no reason to do so. They were given carte blanche to go ahead and marry outside, unlike all the other shvatim. But they decided to carry out the wishes of Hashem Yisbarach. So the word tzivui and yigora, these are critical terms here that I found. So Chazal comment, and this already is mentioned by Rashi, Rashbam, the Baal Basra, and here on Daf Kuf Yutes, comes Chof. But I just want to really point out a comment which is very, very clearly made. On page number two, there's a Svarno. My father was very much in love with the Svarno. And it's a saying that's not sufficiently learned. Today, yesterday was the yard side of the Chaim HaKadosh. That's also another saying that has to be studied. Okay, we only have X amount of time, so we're sort of limited in our ability. What I did was, in the course of years, I tried every year. I spent many years of my life learning, and I should continue to do so. But there were other mafarshim I decided to try to take a stab at in the course of different years. Not the entire mafarsh on the parsha, unless you had essentially, Elu Dvarim She'en Shir. So I wasn't able to do that, but over the years I learned about Ben Bechaye. I decided at one point to try to take a stab at Akedas Yitzchak, Abinsak Aroma, very difficult, heavy, philosophic, cumbersome kind of saying. In fact, it was translated to English not long ago by a very chashuv person on Yerushalayim who translates a lot of Svarim into English. And the Svarim also was the same that I grew up on. My father was very much in love with the Svarim. Look at the bottom on page number two, an unbelievable swarna. Ken Osu Bel Slachar, Kimnu Lassos with Tsun Kainam. They decided not to do that which they could have done, which of course was marry outside of their Shevet, but then where the Gemara says there was an Eitzah Tova given to them. What's the Eitzah Tova? Try to keep within the Shevet. And they did so. Next says the Yisrael Kashetim Hashem Moshe Lo Minleishes Abu Le'ilu Hashem Yisrael. What a statement! Was not necessarily an ideal marriage. I think I translated correctly. And he repeats it again, the last one though. Now, they could have married perhaps in a bit more ideal kind of way. I'm sure the husbands they had were fine. I have no doubt. But it was a function of Tzivui Hashem. The Eitzah Tova, they felt that's what they should follow. So they were willing to be mevater. I may, what it may have been a bit more utopian, ideal, optimal situation, just to carry out the Tzivui Hashem. It writes at the bottom, they could have chosen otherwise. Wow, what an unbelievable level, Madrega, of Tzivui Hashem. So I want to just note that I find this contrast between the two psukim to be amazing. Namely, the psukim and Pinchas and that in Masay. As I said here in Pinchas, we see the Benos Sabchad appearing in the forefront, emboldened to appear publicly, presenting their case in front of the Manhiga Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, and all of his colleagues. And yet, in Masay, they almost don't appear. In Masay, the Torah is describing a description of what happened, and the fact they carried out the Tzivui Hashem. You don't see the kind of, if you will, activism that you see in Pasuk Pinchas, more of a passive acceptance of what their role, what their lot is, and what Hashem has brought, want them to do. As I mentioned, this really is an amazing, there's a medrash that I'm very fond of. The medrash, if you turn the page number two sideways, the medrash actually, you can see it, but to grab the verse, this medrash is a striking one. Also, Ador, Oyu Anoshim Gogos Mashi Anoshim Portsim. Here we have a contrast between men and women. These women were not readily involved in the Cheder Egel. They had no interest in giving of their ornaments that the Cheder Egel should emerge. That's what the Medrash writes. They opposed their husband's position. Here it said they did not take a part of it. The Medrash says, the women were not involved in that tzas avraham. She goes to lemalam and aparsha. Yom Hashem lahem. Moshe husband bivul. The whole samayim ish. Ki in kol avinivul ish v'lo ish. I said the medrash. The women were not involved in the chel avraham. The kach nifle v'aparsha zul. Some of the misa do amibar. Shem yishom portsu anoshim. We go to anoshim. This is a shevach, a panegyric to women who are not part of the Cheder Egel and not part of the Cheder Meraglim. And here we see that Chazal indicate, and the Benos Sochot, and this is what I mentioned at the very outset, why the Torah presents the order of the Benos Sochot one way in the first parasha, and there Chazal indicate the in Parashas Maaseh, there the emphasis on the Tzivui Hashem, on the Chochmah, and Magid Shekulam Shkulo Zok HaZok. And Maaseh, Rashi gives another hesbet. It's right here in the Rashi. You can see it actually in front of you. But Rashi says over there, do with the last Rashi. Last Rashi on page number two. Machla Tirsa, Kan Manam Zig Dulasan, Zubi Zubi Shonin, and this is said it told also, Vah Mikram, and all of you love Masa. Rashi indicates the contrast between the two. And this again, but the indication I'm simply trying to underscore is this idea, this notion of the Chiba of Eretz Yisrael, the love of Eretz Yisrael they display, that emboldened them to do what they did, but ultimately what they tried to do was carry out the Tzivui Hashem in the ideal kind of fashion. So I just want to be messiahing by, again, I think the text more or less speaks to itself. There's a lot more here to really discuss in terms of a number of other diukim, but I'll just mention by way of closing that this notion that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Hashem, any Hashem Elokeinu Dorish Oso, was something that they understood. It's not always easily, as I said, understood. And I explained it earlier in terms of Rav Desla. There's also a text about Basra, very famous text. The text discusses the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Laman Tilma, the Yiras Hashem Elokeinu Dorish Oso. The text about Basra points out that one who comes to Yerushalayim HaKodesh, that you see the Kohanim doing the Avodah, Leviyim B'duchanam, Yisrael B'Avodah, and the entire atmosphere is so charged with Kedusha that really, there's no question, automatically you become instilled with Yer Shabayim. That really, it's an amazing, amazing thing. And you see this also at Kuk Zatzal. I saw that he points out that in addition to this rejoicing being a reward for someone actually who properly, since we're about to enter the 3 weeks, mourns the destruction of Yerushalayim, HaKadosh, and the Churban, that's an actual reaction as well. Someone who feels something is missing in his life will rejoice once he finally is open to it. You don't feel the void, you have no reason to rejoice when it's filled. If you're bothered by Akasha Dhanma, you'll rejoice when you find an answer. Akasha the Gemara, Akasha Rishayim. And only when we feel we're missing the Mishamikdosh and the Karbonos and the Dushim Yerushalayim and Sanhedrin and Malchum Mizdobin and the Rebbe Tumim, then we can merit this Simcha that comes with their restoration when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will restore it. Halavai, with Hashem's help, all these things should be properly restored. We should merit being Yerushalayim. And until the year of Hashem Elokecha, Kalayim.